It's time for the March 29, 2024 edition of Weekly Signals Weekly Review, a personal recollection of the last 168 hours of history, broadcasting on Eric Idle's birthday from the University of California at Irvine on KUCI 88.9 FM. I'm Nathan Callahan.
And I'm Mike Kaspar.
And as always, not quite so brave as Sir Lancelot, Mahler, the deep fake news dog. Yes. Today we'll be talking about armadillos, engagement farming, Rona McDaniel, strange metals, sports gambling, Godzilla, and so much more. But first, a happy Holy Week to everyone.
Thank you.
All Americans need a Bible in their home. Even Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and atheists like me. I have many. All hand-me-downs from my racist family members. That's why I encourage you to get a copy of the God Bless Hazel Motes Bible, the scripture of the Church of Truth Without Christ, where the blind don't see, the lame don't walk, and what's dead stays that way. We must make America play again. Holy Week is a cheerful time, culminating in Good Friday, which commemorates Christ's crucifixion.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's to a joyous execution, everyone. Happy Holy Week.
Yeah.
Speaking of executions, given the Third Reich, it's easy to forget how Christian the country of Germany really is.
Yes.
But certain habits are there to remind you, like shops being closed on Sundays, or the extra bank holidays enjoyed by Catholics in the South, and a dancing ban on Good Friday. Today, no dancing. Dance events are officially forbidden today, and you aren't allowed to have musical events of any kind if they take place where drinks are served. Don't drink and dance. It's dangerous.
How could those two things ever be thought of in the same sentence?
I don't even know how that would happen. You could hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not all. Public sporting events are also banned if they're accompanied by music or other entertainment.
Obviously.
I don't know what the other entertainment may be, but can't do it. The restriction only applies from 4 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Good Friday, so apparently Jesus knocked back a few before he was buried in the cave. I'm thinking he was hung over on Easter myself, you know. Had a busy end of the week.
Yeah.
Got a lot of things going on Friday.
Why he passed out, yeah.
From The Guardian, dogs understand what certain words stand for, according to researchers who monitored their brain activity while they were shown balls, slippers, leashes, and other dog gear. That's right, Mother. Dog gear. The findings suggest that the dog brain can reach beyond commands such as sit and fetch and frenzied-inducing walkies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, walkies, Mother.
Yeah.
Woo! During the test, researchers monitored the dog's brain activity through non-invasive electroencephalography, or EEG. The readings revealed different patterns of activity when the objects matched or clashed with the words their owners said. Similar readings in human EEG recordings were seen when humans performed the test when they correctly matched a word to an object, like ball. The study raises the question of why, if dogs understand certain nouns, more of them don't show it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, Mother. Or maybe they just couldn't care at all about what you're saying. That's my guess. You know, Mahler understands what we're saying.
Absolutely.
He cares about his eyes.
I think he's jaded at this point. I don't think it really hits him. I do know, you know, I'm now a guardian for two dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't take them on a walk at the same time. And I've now got, so I take my dad's dog out for a walk, but I always say to my sister's dog, I'll be right back.
It's Lady and
Lily.
Lily, ah.
Lily. And I tell Lily, I'll be right back. Okay. And she looks at me, and she doesn't move. Mm-hmm. I take Lady on the walk, come back. She jumps up and runs over because she knows it's her turn.
Yeah, she's smart.
Yeah, no,
smart.
I mean, I don't.
As far as nouns go, there's this amazing dog I know who, well, he was playing ball by a tennis court. And you know how balls fly over the tennis court fence there, or whatever you want to call it, the restricted zone of tennis. And you usually find a little pile of them, you know. Well, this one friend was playing with his dog, smart dog, and he takes a tennis ball, which is much like the other tennis balls, and throws a ball and says, "Get the ball," you know. Mm-hmm. So this dog walks over to the pile of tennis balls that have come down over the tennis court and picks one up and hands it to the owner. It's anecdotal, but it proves the point. If you like to sit, stay, or fetch, may I recommend a donation to KUCI? Give, give, give. Just go to KUCI.org. Your generous donation is how we stay on air. Commercial-free, free-form, free-speech radio, KUCI 88.9 FM. From the Miami Herald, the World Health Organization reported that leprosy is on the rise, particularly in Florida.
Okay.
The number of infections has more than doubled in the last 10 years, and the disease is often associated with exposure to armadillos. In some areas of the state, 15 to 20% of armadillos carry M. leprae, the leprosy bacteria.
Wow.
About a fifth of U.S. cases were reported in Florida, but not to worry, leprosy, which is usually called by its modern name Hansen's disease, is curable with antibiotics and has a low risk of being spread among people. Yep.
Well,
I don't believe in that science stuff, though.
No.
You know, if I get leprosy, I'm not taking a shot.
Come on.
They're going to feel it with computer chips and monitor me.
So true. So true.
From Grist, a toxic grass that threatens a quarter of U.S. cows is spreading. America's fescue belt, named for an exotic grass called tall fescue, dominates the pasture land from Missouri and Arkansas in the west to the coast of the Carolinas in the east. Within that span, a quarter of the nation's cows, more than 15 million in all, graze fields that stay green through the winter while the rest of the region's grasses turn brown and go dormant. But the fescue these cows are eating is toxic. The animals lose hooves, part of their tails, and the tips of their ears slough off.
Oh, my God.
For most of the year, the cows spend any moderately warm day standing in ponds and creeks trying to reduce fevers. They breathe heavily, fail to put on weight, and produce less milk. Some fail to conceive, and some of the calves they do conceive die. The disorder, fescue toxicosis, costs the livestock industry up to $2 billion every year in lost production. Where did all that tall fescue come from? By the early 20th century, decades of timber cutting and overgrazing had left the ranching region in southern states barren, its nutrient-rich native grasses replaced by a motley assortment of plants that made poor forage. With the help of some ranchers, tall fescue, or Kentucky 31, as it's called, began to spread. As early as the 1950s, however, ranchers began to notice tall fescue's disturbing effects. But they learned to live with the health impacts of this toxic fescue, and today it's the primary pasture grass across 37 million acres of farmland. The problem is it keeps spreading. Warming temperatures from climate change are now expanding the northern limit of the fescue belt. There's talk of abandoning fescue altogether and restoring the native grasses that once dominated the region. That's good, but not all ranchers are happy with that. However, as ecosystems shift and extreme weather makes farming even more precarious, ranchers need to get their shite together about how to correct their land use practices.
Yes.
Like many of us.
Like many of us.
Like, don't plant grass in your yard if you live in an area like Nevada or Southern California.
That's right.
Any hot area. Yeah. Forget that stuff.
Exactly. I have an anecdotal story, which you're not going to like.
Yeah.
You're just not going to like it at all. I played golf in a very, very famous golf course. It was a gift to me.
Well, I remember that. Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they have fescue there.
Yeah.
And I was on the 17th hole, and I was trying to chip up onto the green.
Yeah.
And it had fescue around it. I swung at that ball three or four times before I hit it, because my club kept going under the ball. It was the weirdest thing I've never
seen. Because the ball had lifted up on top of the fescue. Oh, I got you.
And then when I went to hit it, like I'm thinking, I'm going to hit it like I have forever. Hit it where I normally hit it.
Yeah.
And the club kept going under it. And I just remember, that's why I know it was fescue. The reason I'm bringing this up was because we had a caddy. When you play Pebble Beach, you get a caddy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah, that's fescue.
He said that's fescue?
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, so there you go. Completely inappropriate and nonsensical.
Well, I understand. It's your experience with fescue.
It is my only experience.
Sharing your fescue experience.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of cows, from the Heartland Signals, while arguing against a proposal for safe storage requirements for firearms, Minnesota State Senator Warren Limmer, a Republican from Maple Grove, contended that rural citizens need guns readily available to deal with cows.
To do what?
To deal with cows.
Oh, to deal with cows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you don't want a cow coming to your front door if you're fully loaded.
No.
Or fully, what do they call it?
Cocked and ready or whatever, yeah.
Jammed and jacked, whatever. You even walk too close to a cow and it'll take you down and trample you into dust.
Yes.
Limmer said. Who's high here? Grab a gun, Mahler. There's a cow in the yard. Yeah,
he doesn't really care. Speaking of not caring.
If passed, the proposal would establish standards throughout the state of Minnesota for the safe storage of firearms and outline criminal penalties for failing to meet them. If not passed, apparently cows will trample us into dust. After Limmer's cow concern was heard, the proposal passed the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety along party lines and was then recommended to the Finance Committee. So, who knows what will happen, but cows.
Who knew?
From United Press International. In Florida, the effects of climate change are hard to ignore. It's the hottest state. Miami spent a record 46 days above a heat index of 100 degrees last summer, and many homes and businesses are clustered along beachfront areas threatened by rising seas and hurricanes. The Republican-led legislature has responded with more than $640 million for resilience programs to adapt to coastal threats. But the same politicians won't acknowledge the root cause of these problems. For example, a bill awaiting signature from Governor Ron DeSantis would ban offshore wind energy, relax regulations on natural gas pipelines, and delete the majority of mentions of climate change from existing state laws. You see, Republicans associate climate change with science and smart people and have a fear of knowledge. Because, you know, Adam and Eve. So they generally try to distance themselves from the reality of climate change. When a reporter asked DeSantis what he was doing to address the climate crisis in 2021, he said, "We're not doing any left-wing stuff."
Oh, my God.
In practice, this approach has consisted of trying to manage the effects of climate change while ignoring what's causing climate change. So it's no surprise that the new Florida bill would eliminate a green government grant program that helps cities and school districts cut their carbon emissions. Or that a section of an older policy stating that Florida is at the front lines of climate change and can reduce those impacts by cutting emissions will be replaced with a statement that reads, "Florida will provide an adequate, reliable, and cost-effective supply of energy for the state in a manner that promotes health and welfare of the public and economic growth."
Oh, my God.
I guess it's the Roger Stone School of Science.
Yeah, no, I mean,
admit
really.
Nothing, deny everything.
I think you could make the case that Florida is the state that is most likely to be most impacted by climate.
I would think so.
It's, you know, it hangs out there off the United States, surrounded on three sides by water and massive hurricanes, 100-year flood events on a regular basis, rising sea levels. But there's nothing to see here.
From the world of music, from Scientific Reports. New research shows popular music has undergone some measurable and significant shifts over the past 50 years, with popular song lyrics becoming simpler and more repetitive, with more rhyming lines and chorus. The trend observed across five of the most popular English language music genres, pop, rock, rap, R&B, and country, since 1970, hints at how shifts in music listening habits, platforms, and production may be shaping pop culture. Yeah. The researchers compiled lyrics from 353,320 well-known songs. That part I don't know about. I mean, if you asked me to come up with even like just 300,000 well-known songs, I couldn't. Anywho, songs released between 1970 and 1920. Using machine learning to single out key linguistic features, they discovered that the ratio of repeated to non-repeated lines has ticked up across genres over the years, nearly doubling for pop songs and rising even more rapidly for rap music. And I think that's the nature, at least, of rap. I don't know pop. Pop is pop, but rap has a rhythmic thing, so repetition is part of that.
Yep.
The ratio of choruses to other song sections rose as well. The study also found that contemporary music lyrics convey more negative emotions and fewer positive ones than in the past, and that songs have become more personal in the sense that they have a higher frequency of pronouns such as I and me.
Mm.
This all may have something to do with how people have changed how they interact with songs, with more and more listeners tuning in to music as background.
Yes. That I agree with.
So they don't want anything too distracting, nope. And repetition isn't as distracting, nope, as something new every 5 seconds. And from Pitchfork, Joni Mitchell's music has returned to Spotify more than 2 years after she left the streaming platform in solidarity with Neil Young's protest over Spotify hosting anti-vax content. Mitchell made no comment about the return of her music, though the move comes a week after Young said he was putting his music back on.
Hmm.
Of his return to Spotify, Young wrote, "My decision comes as music services Apple and Amazon has started serving the same disinformation podcast features I had opposed at Spotify. I cannot just leave Apple and Amazon like I did Spotify because my music would have very little streaming outlet to music lovers at all, so I've returned to Spotify." It sounds kind of rambling. Wonder what Neil is up to.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This is the world we live in. This is how musicians, especially of his stature, make money now.
I think he's getting soft. Yeah. Come on, Neil.
Yeah, what's enough? I mean, I can't imagine he's not made enough money to get him through the rest of his life.
I know you're not selling your music for advertising. That's good on you. But still, if you don't like what Spotify is doing, then...
There's Bandcamp. There's a lot of other outlets that
help out a little firm. That might be fun.
Yeah. It sucks that the means of distribution have become so dominated by
monopolized.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you got basically three choices and they are all as corrupt as the other. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM, Irvine, California. Visit us on the web at kuci.org, on Facebook at facebook.com/KUCI88.9, on our Tumblr blog at kuciradio.tumblr.com, and on Twitter and Instagram at KUCIFM. Hear about that bridge going down?
No, what happened there?
This week's catastrophe was not the first time a container ship had slammed into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, which was built in the 1970s. 4 decades ago, another container ship that also lost power hit the same bridge, and it stood strong. The dramatic difference in outcomes between the two accidents is the result of the massive increase in shipping vessel size in the intervening decades.
Yes.
Bridges of the era when the Key Bridge was built weren't designed to protect against collisions with ships as big as the Dolly, the vessel that caused the Baltimore Bridge to topple. The Dolly has a capacity of about 10,000 20-foot equivalent units of cargo compared to the approximate cap of 2,500 20-foot equivalent units that could be carried by container ships in the 1970s. So the ship weighs 4 times more. Unfortunately, at least as cargo does.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, hundreds of bridges over U.S. waterways were built decades ago when container ships were a fraction of the size and weight they are today. To address that problem, the Biden administration just last year backed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which authorized an investment of $110 billion in funding to repair our roads and bridges. The allocation would have been more if it weren't for Trump MAGA Republicans in Congress who care more about winning power than making America great. The loss of the bridge will tangle traffic and disrupt supply chains. The Port of Baltimore is one of the nation's largest shipping hubs, especially for both imports and exports of cars and light trucks. About 850,000 vehicles go through the port every year. In 2023, the port moved a record-breaking $80 billion worth of foreign cargo. Now the shipping lane is closed and must be cleared of debris. Despite the impossibility of solid information in the hours immediately after the collision, or perhaps because of it, verified accounts on Elon Musk's X, formerly known as Twitter, began spreading conspiracy theories. They posted that the accident was linked to terrorism, Jewish people, or diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
Yeah, I saw that. I happened to see that tweet.
Good God. It did just anti-white said, business practices cause this disaster? One post read.
Well, yeah. It's on Fox News all the time.
Yeah.
Right now, that's all they're talking about. Because Mayor Pete is gay.
Buttigieg. Who's in charge of the Secretary of Transportation.
Yeah. Because he's gay.
And in the Biden administration.
Because
he jumped forward right away.
In
response to this accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he got the job, because he's gay. He's unqualified, so therefore.
Well, gay people are unqualified.
Oh, of course. We all know that. I mean, that goes without saying.
Conspiracy theorist and 3-inch fool Alex Jones wrote that the collision was deliberate and that World War III was already starting. Technology reporter Taylor Lawrence, who studies social media patterns, said that many of these accounts are engagement farming. This is the practice of posting comments, in this case, extremist lies, which can then be monetized by, for instance, getting a cut of advertising that appears near those comments.
That's right. Exactly right.
Comments with heavy engagement can receive thousands of dollars. So that's what this is all about.
Yes.
They're distorting people's view of the whole world because they want to make money.
Because they want to draw. Yeah. They want to drive eyeballs, clicks, and all the rest of it. There is a great documentary out on HBO right now about Alex Jones called Truth Versus Alex Jones. Check it out. It's very well done. And a new documentary I just saw, which I'm going to recommend when it comes out. It premiered at South by Southwest. It's called How to Build a Truth Engine. Fantastic documentary film about combating disinformation and misinformation.
Meanwhile, NPR, Fox News, The Daily Beast, ABC, and many other news outlets headline Baltimore's key bridge collapse as a disaster. Etymologically speaking, that would mean the collapse was foretold in the stars. The base word aster in disaster is the Greek word for star, which means that disaster is related to words like astronomy, astrology, asteroid, and the star punctuation asterisk.
Ah, good to know.
From The Guardian, the former Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel is on her way out of NBC less than a week after joining the network. NBC Universal News Group Chair Cesar Conde said no organization, particularly in a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Over the last few days, it has become clear that disappointment undermines that goal. I'm thinking that maybe this was engagement farming, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think her espousal of election denialism about the Biden victory in 2020 is appalling and appalling.
But, yeah, and so you hire her on so you can fire her.
Yeah. You think, okay, well, it's a thought. I mean, we're so far beyond the idea that you would have opposing points of view, significant opposing points of view on these different media outlets, that it's distressing. But I get why they were so upset, because she's so extreme.
Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, McDaniel had said she supported Trump's election fraud lie, which ultimately ignited the deadly January 6 attack on Congress as a way of taking one for the whole team. She said, I guess by the whole team, she means the traitors and insurrectionists.
Yeah.
McDaniel's appointment as a political analyst for the network was met with an extraordinary protest by on-screen talent at NBC News and MSNBC. In an angry response on air, Chuck Todd, a former host, pointed to attacks on the press mounted by McDaniel in her 7-year stay as the head of the RNC, which coincided with Trump's presidency and his surge to the Republican nomination this year.
Yeah.
This is about whether honest journalists are supposed to lend their credibility to someone who intentionally tried to ruin ours, Todd said.
Yeah.
Todd and other critics also highlighted McDaniel's support for Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 election, including direct involvement in her home state, Michigan. She was rejected from the RNC last month to be replaced by Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump. Yeah. It's not corrupt enough as it is. He wants family members in there. Rachel Maddow, perhaps the biggest MSNBC primetime star, delivered a long monologue saying in part, "We are contending with something we've never had to contend with before. Bad actors trying to use the rights and privileges of the democracy to end democracy. The chief threat among them now is not the rioters and the kooks, but the slick political professionals who are turning their considerable talents to laundering violently revolutionary claims that America's elections aren't real." From Scientific American, metals have been so important in human history that we've named historical epochs, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, for their transformative power. These materials, with their characteristic ability to conduct electricity, are no less vital to our modern era. They are found in essentially every technology that has enabled the information age. After centuries of studies, physicists have a good understanding of most metals. Their characteristic glossiness and coldness to the touch are both consequences of the way their electrons move and interact. Recently, though, scientists have discovered that some metals are different. A new class of materials called strange metals show confusing electronic behavior. In these metals, electrons seem to lose their individual identities, acting more like a soup in which all the particles are connected through quantum entanglement.
Wow.
The physics of these strongly interacting electrons seems to mirror some of the ways particles act at the event horizons of black holes.
Wow.
Understanding these metals may help us develop superconductors that might operate at or close to room temperature. That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Potentially transforming power grids, quantum computing, and medical devices.
Wow.
And in sports, from Dave Zirin at The Nation.
Love Dave Zirin.
Yep. "Gambling is not just essential to the economy of sports and sports media. It has, in essence, become the economy of sports and sports media. Faced with an aging and fragmenting television audience, the sports world turned to partnering with legal gambling operations to fill its coffers. But it's not the growing addiction epidemic among fans, especially younger ones, that concerns and threatens the corner office. It's the scandals of the athletes themselves.
Yep.
This month, players have allegedly used inside information to place bets, allegedly fixed individual and team outcomes, and not so allegedly damaged the credibility of their sports. One of these scandals involves Ippei Muzuhara, the translator for arguably the greatest baseball player on earth, Shohei Ohtani. Muzuhara was caught betting $4.5 million with an illegal bookie operation that was raided in California. But Ohtani's name was found on the betting slips. Muzuhara initially said that this was because Ohtani was helping him pay off the bets. But Ohtani says that Muzuhara stole the money from his accounts and that he was shocked to find gambling was going on. People are skeptical of Ohtani's account and wonder whose bets Muzuhara was really placing. No matter the truth of the story, it has made Ohtani look to be at best a mark and at worst, Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Speaking of Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, the all-time hits leader who was banned for life for betting on baseball, reacted to the Ohtani betting scandal saying, "Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I had an interpreter. I would be scot-free." All this begs the question, how are we supposed to trust sports media to examine the corrosive effects of gambling on the sports world when its economic lifeblood depends upon more bets, more addicts, and more scandals?
Yeah. Nathan, it's not if, it's when there's going to be the exploding cigar of sports betting scandals on every level within every sport. It's just going to happen.
Well, it only takes one big sport.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced, but I'm suspicious that it is happening with Ohtani and Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Are they going to hide this? If Ohtani really was involved in this betting scandal, and if he was betting on, say, baseball games, he should not play baseball anymore in the U.S. It should be over.
Yeah.
By baseball's own rules, yeah, that should happen.
I don't know how you maintain the integrity of sports with this much gambling going on all the time, involving young people with no money or little money looking for an opportunity.
From BBC News, rowers taking part in the 2024 boat race between Oxford and Cambridge in London are among those that have been told not to enter the Thames after high levels of E. coli were found. Yeah. That's what they call it, too, the boat race.
The boat race.
Yeah, the boat race. It's not the world boat race. It's the boat race.
You know, the boat race.
Crews have been warned to make sure they do not swallow any splashed water, to cover blisters, and to wear footwear when getting in and out of their boats. Pressure group River Action said tests indicated that bacteria came from sewage directly discharged into the river. River Action said the highest levels it recorded was 9,801 colony-forming units of bacteria per 100 milliliters of water, meaning it was nearly 10 times higher than levels found in bathing waters graded as poor by Environment Agency standards. From Harper's Weekly Review, on Instagram, Martha Stewart raved about a culinary dish that splices the extremities of a lobster onto the torso of a chicken. Comments on the Frankenstein meal include, is this one of those posts where you're trying to let us know you've been kidnapped or are in danger? And this looks like a PETA hate crime. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. And finally, from the Associated Press, Godzilla was appointed Tokyo Police Station Chief for a day, all in the name of Japan's Spring Traffic Safety Campaign. After a press conference at Ikebukuro Police Station, an actor wearing a Godzilla bodysuit stomped down the streets of the city while crowds cheered, "Godzilla! Godzilla! 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 Godzilla!"
You can subscribe to the Weekly Signals Weekly Review podcast at weeklysignals.com. Weeklysignals.com. Subscribe now.